Okay, so Parashas Tetzava deals with the big dikahuna, and there's a kasher to Purim in most years of Asana Mubaris, so Tetzava and Purim go hand in hand. And if you take a look at the Gemara Megillah, you see the relevance of big dikahuna to the Neis of Purim. Achashverosh put on the big dikahuna gedoyla at the Mishnah. Medrash says that Vashti also wore the big dikahuna gedoyla. And the Mordechai Yotza Bilavush Malchus, so the Targum Sheni says that Mordechai wore the Big Day Kahuna Gedoyla. So we see that the Big Day Kahuna Gedoyla is playing a very instrumental role. So the fact that Parshas Tetzava coincides usually with Purim is suggesting this correlation, this connection between the Parsha and the Zman, which is always the case. So one of the very interesting chukim in Parshas Tetzava is the whole seder of the chinuch of the kohanim, bringing them into this role of kahuna. The Torah tells us that an ayah was shechted and dam was taken and placed on the earlobes, on the thumb, and on the big toe, all on the right side of Aaron Ubanov, and also sprinkling onto the begadim of the kohanim. So this is very peculiar, like what's going on over here? Why should dam be applied in these places? And most questions like this, which pertain to Sodas HaTorah, to things which are non-understandable, take us into Sodas HaTorah. So we'll try to give a short hakdama to try to explain this inyan at the end of the Shir Mitzvah Shem. But before that, let's line up a few other questions. Purim, the Neis of Purim, although we see that we celebrate the Chag of Purim in Adar, the Neis took place at what time of year? Pesach. What's during Pesach? So we see there's a correlation between Pesach and Purim, which needs to be explained and understood. And lastly, the fact that Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi, but also Ish Yemini, is coming to bring out something about the Machos of who Mordechai Tzaddik is in the Neis. So with that short set of questions, let's dive into this again. One last thing to note is the Chesed of Avram, who is the grandfather of the Chida, who was a great Mekubal. So we know the Simanim that Yaakov gave Rachel. Chazal, Gemar. What were the Simanim that Yaakov gave Rachel? Very good. So according to one Medrash, Yaakov gave Rachel the following three Simanim. Nida, Chadla, and Lakasaner. The Chesed of Avram says no, different Simanim. That when Rachel was together with Leah, she took her hand and she placed her hand on the Oizen Hayamanis, the Yad Hayamanis, and the Regal Hayamanis of Yaakov Avinu. And he explains it all peekable. We're seeing something here, fascinating, is that what we find in the Parsha, that the applications of Dam on these three places was not the first instance in Torah that this took place. This is the Simanim that Yaakov gave Rachel, and Rachel did so to Yaakov Avinu, or was she was supposed to do so to Yaakov, it was Leah who did so. So this just confuses us even more. What do these simanim have to do with Yaakov and Rachel? What do these simanim have to do with the kahuna? And what does Yaakov and Rachel have to do with kahuna? That's the question in front of us. So we said before, just a couple of hakdamas. So we know there are Esther Spheros. Esther Spheros is the spiritual anatomy of everything in the world. There is nothing which is not associated with a sphere or many spheres. When we take a look at the human body is comprised of Esther Spheros. You're probably familiar with it. Chachma, Bina, and Das, that's the head. Chesed is the right arm. Gvur is the left arm. Tiferes is the torso. Netzach is the right leg. Hod is the left leg. Yesod is the wrist. And Malchus is the pen. That's all Eliyahu Navi in Hakdama Tikunizar. Okay? That's Hakdama number one. When we speak about Spheres, we speak about everything in the Bria, but Befrat to the Adam. Next Hakdama. When we speak about Pnimius in Kabbalah, what we're trying to do, just Ba'if and Klali, is to bring Oiris down into this world. We're trying to bring the world of Mashiach, we're trying to bring everything that Hashem Yisrael wants from this world. But another way to explain it is like this, to bring down Moichin. Moichin means deeper understanding of Malah Ha'ar, Dideyas Hashem. When we speak about Moichin, we speak about Chachma, Bina, and Das. And the way that Moichin normally come down is from bottom up. First Das comes in, and Das divides into two parts, Chasadim the Das, and the Gvur is the Das. And then Bina comes down, and then Chachma comes down. That's the normally how things work on every level when we speak about what's called Hamshachas HaMoichin. On the night of the Seder, Manashtana HaLayla HaZem Mikol HaLaylas, it doesn't work that way. Chachma, Bina, and Das, they all come down together. And even though there's four cups, one is going to get Chachma, Bina, Chassad of the Das, and Gvuras the Das, this is like basics of Kabbalah when it comes to the night of the Seder. The Arizal says it doesn't work that way. It's not that the first cup brings on all of Chachma, the second brings on Bina, and then Chassad and Gvuras the Das. Not how it works. They all come down simultaneously. I said, why do you need four cups? Says the Arizal, first cup brings you down the right side of Chachma, Bina, Chassad of the Das, and Gvuras the Das. Which means Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach. The whole right side of all four of these Mayachim. Second cup brings down the left side, which is Bina, Gvura, and Hod of all four of these Mayachim. And then in the middle, for the next three cups, for the next two cups.
I don't know if you can, but if you could just elaborate. Some people are not familiar with these concepts.
I thought that was an elaboration.
No, I'm saying like, Netzach, like what is Netzach?
So each sphere contains its own, I don't like to use the word energy, but it has its own mida. Netzach, let's say, for example, means lenatzeach. It means to persevere. It means to overcome. Like Moshe Rabbeinu was the sphere of Netzach, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, b'chayev he was mishamesh, but Moshe is mishamesh. Moshe goes on forever. Moshe is like eternal. And Moshe is eternal. In every single generation, there's a nitzitz of Moshe. When you understand each sphere, I mean, trying to understand sphere, aregalachas, trying to understand, you know, atomic energy. You know, you have to be a master, you know, a PhD to understand things in depth. But the idea is that everything is comprised of spheres. Every sphere has its own personality, But to get to the subtleties, we have to understand at least these basic fundamental yesodas. But the whole shiur is not going to be in Kabbalah. Don't worry about that. It's just the end, just to try to explain that last inyan. But there's a lot.
How do you divide the 7 and 3?
What?
The higher three.
There's the higher three, Chachma, Bina, and Das, and then the seven lower ones. You can divide them 5 and 5, 3, 3, and 3. I mean, it's a whole another time.
Okay. But like the word sphere?
Yeah.
What's sphere mean?
What does the sphere mean? So different interpretations.
Like
what?
People are counting now.
It can be from counting, yeah, because you have to have 10, and you don't have 9, you don't have 11. There's always 10. Sphere means is also from the word sapir fayahalom, something which is shining, something which is illuminating. So there's different interpretations of how that explains the spheres. The idea is that spheres are the way that Hashem Yisrael reveals himself to the world. Because Hashem himself is an Orin Sof. How do you explain Hashem? He can only explain himself. And he envelops himself and he reveals himself through 10 spheres so that we can understand. And that's the purpose of this world. So 10 spheres is the basic building blocks of everything spiritual creation. But how Hashem reveals himself to his creations is through the union of spheres. I'm not going to need to know so much to explain the side of what we're going to speak about. It's going to be more about Purim than it is about Kabbalah. So in order to explain and to understand this union, we have to make our way to the end of Parshas Vayigash, which is Yetzias Mitzrayim, even before Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah tells us that when Yosef was amassing all of the wealth in Mitzrayim, everybody had to give Choymesh to Paro, but there was one group, one society in Mitzrayim, which was exempt from the mas, from that tax. And who was that? What? Well, Levi, they were exempt from the Shibud. That's Levi Ben Yaakov and his Shevet. But there was a group of people in Mitzrayim who were exempt, and this really goes under the radar at the end of Parashas Vayigash. Who was that? The Kohanim. The Kohanim of Mitzrayim were exempt. Chazal say, why did Yosef give them a tour? Were they these outstanding upright people? So says Chazal, no. What happened was when Potiphar and Ashes Potiphar accused Yosef of mishandling Ashes Potiphar, so Yosef needed to find a way out. And so a test was done. The Kohanim came in and they said, we have a way to determine whether or not what's on the beged of Ashes Potiphar, if it's really Zera of Yosef, or it's just a cracked egg. Which it was. They took a fire and they tested it and they saw that it was just a cracked egg and it wasn't the Zera of Yosef. So really Yosef was off the hook and he never forgot the favor that the Kohanim did for him. When he became king or viceroy, he parted them from the taxes. Oh. That's the history of just, you see just a few psukim as a whole maisa to it. That's what Yosef did for the Kohanim. Right? This concept of kahuna in Mitzrayim is the foundations of kahuna for Klal Yisrael. Foundations of kahuna for Klal Yisrael. We find in the Medrash, says, Yosef Chacham Gadol Haya, v'yodin shasidin Yisrael lahaitzi trumas emaisis misadoseim. Yosef thought that it would be true mesamais, which would be given to the Kohanim and Klai Yisrael. Kishetachshav kol shem mitzin Yisrael, if you take a calculation of everything that Klai Yisrael gives to the Kohanim, you'll see Timso Yisrael Kamashim Mitzim HaMitzim Empire. What they gave to Paro was the same true mesamais which we give to our Kohanim. You see, the foundations of Kahuna is in Mitzrayim. This is the Kahuna, that's why they're called Kahuna. In fact, when Yosef comes down to Mitzrayim, who does he fall into the hands of? Potiphar. How does the Torah refer to Potiphar? Potiphar, Kohen Om. So Yosef falls into the hands of the Kohen of Mitzrayim. So what's going on with Kahuna in Mitzrayim is not for now. It has to do with Mechiras Yosef. But the seeds of Yiddish Kahuna is right here. The Kahuna that Yosef has in Mitzrayim. I mean, he's machzik, the Kahuna of Mitzrayim. And that means to say that when Klai Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, the Kahuna leaves too. The Kahuna leaves too. So Klai Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, and the Kahuna leaves Mitzrayim. And that's why in Parashas Tetzaveh, the initiation of the Kahuna for Klai Yisrael, Aaron Ubanov, takes place after Yitzias Mitzrayim. It couldn't have been done in Mitzrayim. Although Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Moshe and Aaron to take B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, who would later be the Kohanim. But Al Kopanim, you see that Klai Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim included also the leaving of the Kahuna from Mitzrayim. Now what does that mean, the Yitzias Mitzrayim of the Kahuna? What is Yitzias Mitzrayim Bechlal? What Tumah is Tumas Mitzrayim? So the Zayek Kaddish says that Tumas Mitzrayim is Tumas Tzaras. Three examples where we see that Tumas Mitzrayim is Tumas Tzaras. Anybody think of one
Tzaras
or two?
Tzaras is leprosy.
Leprosy. Where is the Tumah of Mitzrayim associated with Tzaras? Very good. Excellent. So when Moshe comes before Paro, he sticks his hand in, sticks his hand out, from Mitzrayim goes away. He's showing Paro, you are Tumas Tzaras. That's what he's saying. Another example of that, Isaiah says, is the Makav Shchin. Shchin is listed as one of the Tumas Tzaras in Parshas Mitzrayim. Parshas Tzaviyah. Shchin. Another example, the very first time the Torah mentions anything is always the Shayosh. Where's the first time in the Torah we have Tzaras? Paro. Vayinaga Hashem es Paro ves Beisai. Negoyim Gedoyim. Sarah, when she's taken by Paro, she brings Nega, she brings Tzaras upon Paro and his household. Which explains Chazal. Basi was going to the river for two reasons. Did we speak about this last week too? Basi was going to the river for two reasons. One, to be Nezgayer. Or, because she had Tzaras. Paro would dip every single day because of Tzaras into the river. So when does Paro, and why does Basia, the daughter of Paro, have Tzaras? Where does that come from? You know where it comes from? Vayinaga Hashem es Paro ves Beis HaNegayim Gedolim. Never went away. The simon of the household of Paro was if you had Tzaras, you were from the house of Paro. Of course, it turned it into a very prestigious thing. But it was a Makkah which Sarah had many, many years ago. So Basia was going to the river because to say that she was going to be this guy and to do away with her Tzaras is one and the same. And she did. The Zohar says that Moshe was able to remove the Tzaras from Basia bas Paro. We see that the Tumah of Mitzrayim is Tumah Tzaras. And therefore, the Seder of leaving Mitzrayim is a Seder of Tahara from the Tumah Tzaras. Keep that in mind. Now, Yaakov in the house of Lavan. Lavan was also a big Klipa, a big Tumah. But as you can hear from the Lashon base Lavan, you know, when the Torah refers to Tzaras, it's also Lavan. That the seir is nepach lavan, that the seir becomes lavan. So beis lavan is another way of saying a bais hamenuga, a bais which is inflicted with tzaras. And Yaakov spending time in that house means that Yaakov is inflicted, or the children of lavan are inflicted with tzaras. And just to attach two things together, you know, Arami Ovid Avi, we begin the night of the seder by mentioning lavan. What does lavan have to do with the night of the seder? It says vayeir nitzrama. Lavan went down to Mitzrayim. Who is lavan? Lavan is Bilam. That's what the Chazal tells us. Lavan is Bilam. But Lavan is Tzaras. And the fact that Lavan goes down to Mitzrayim comes to further show that the Tumah of Lavan's house is the Tumah of Mitzrayim. That's Tumah Tzaras. That's Lavan coming down to the house of Paro, becoming Bilam, who's the advisor to Paro and everything which he did.
Imagine that Bilam and Lavan were the exact same person?
It's a Shiloh, whether they were the same person, the Gilgal of each other, or a grandson. Three different sheetahs as to who he was.
Difficult to really wrap your head around the exact same person.
Correct.
Greatest Navi that ever had. Yeah. You know, it's the end of Amalia.
That's exactly right. Pasha says that he was just a Nitzot, or a Gilgal of him. Let's bring together, a little closer together, the Sugya as we come towards the end. There's a very strong correlation between Kohanim and Tzaras. Only a Kohen can be Matam and Tzaras. And you see that whenever you mishandle the Kohuna, you get afflicted with Tzaras. That's how things go. Where do we see that? The Zohar says that the very first begadim which were given to Adam HaRishon, what's called kosnas or, garments of light with an aleph, were big dekahuna. But when he was chote, they became kosnas or with an ayin, of which the Zohar says is the skin of the nachash. Nachash and tzaras go hand in hand.
Nachash is the snake.
The snake. That's the very first place we find that the big dekahuna turn into big de nachash. Wow. You find by Melech Uzziyahu, who's one of the kings in Jewish history. Uzziyahu was a king. He went in to be Makriv Ketairis, wearing the big dekahuna, and after he did so, he had a big piece of tzaras on his forehead. Again, you mishandle the big dekahuna, you get hit with tzaras. Vashti in the Megillah. Vashti wore the big dekahuna. What does the Gemara say happened to Vashti? She got tzaras. What happened with Achashverosh? Achashverosh also wore the big dekahuna. Where do we find tzaras in the house of Achashverosh? For that, you need the Chida. The Chida says on the pasuk Upnei Haman Chafu, not going into it, he has Gematrias in Ramazan, that Haman is the Tuma of Tzaras. That's what he says, the Chida. Except in this case, Haman was a Bais HaManuga. He made the house of Achashverosh at the Tzaras. But you can't tamper with the big dekahuna and not have Tzaras. So Mamela, we can already understand one question. We had said before that Mordechai went out, the Mordechai Yatza B'Levush Malchus, he went out with Levush Malchus, so he was wearing big dekahuna. And Haman was leading that horse. So why was Mordechai wearing the big dekahuna? The answer is, it's because he was doing away with Haman. Haman is Tumas Saras in the house of Achashverosh. You can't take away Tumah if you're not a Kohen. So you had to acknowledge the fact that Mordechai was Kohen, that he was Kohen Gadol, wearing the big dekahuna to understand how he can do away with Tumas Saras, which is the Tumah of Haman.
Was Mordechai a Kohen?
Mordechai was not a Kohen, but in Pnimius he became a Kohen. There's such a Musak like that. Especially in Galus, when there's no active Kohen in the base of Mikdash, that for all times there's always going to be a Melech in Klai Yisrael, and there's always going to be somebody who acts as Kohen Gadol. Like the Gemara says, Man Malki Rabbanan. Today that there's no Melech, so who is the Melech? So the Rabbanan are the Melech. And in every generation there's somebody who acts as a Kohen, and when the Kahuna is in Galus, you don't have to be an actual Kohen to become Kohen.
According to that, anybody who is part of the Rabbanon could are Kohen, also Aliyahs or whatever, no?
Yeah. Yeah. It's only Hashem Yisbarach really knows who that Kohen is. Right. He saw in Mordechai that he was fit to be that Kohen. You know, Saras comes from a Lashon Hara, right? And less than the other Lishtavisha come, there was nobody who knew Lashon Hara or the Kohen. So of course Haman is Saras. So Mordechai is able to do with that, and the reason why he dressed up with the Kohen Gadol is to show that the Kohen Gadol is able to remove that Saras. That's Mordechai. That's why it says Bilavush Malchus. Yeah? Bilavush Malchus is Gematria Saras Kohen. Because Mordechai was now the Kohen, and he was doing away with that klipa called Haman, which is Tumas Tzaras. Let's go back to our questions and wrap things up. We spoke about the simanim that Yaakov gave Rachel. Why would Yaakov give Rachel simanim of Tzunach Oizen Hayimanis, Boin Yodo Hayimanis, and Regal Hayimanis? The answer is because the whole inyan that we spoke about before, and that's exactly what's happening to the kahuna of Aaron and Wanov, is that the kahuna left Mitzrayim. The kahuna left Mitzrayim. And in order to be mitahir from Tumas Tzaras, did I mention that this is what we find by Tzaras? You have to mitahir Mitzrayim with... Yeah, I didn't say that. Okay, that's very important. The other time that we find in the Torah that this comes into play, the Tanuch on the Oizen and on the Bayan and on the Yad, is by being mitahir Mitzrayim. If we don't know that, we don't know the Shir. That's Tumas Tzaras 101. You have to be Matar the Tzaras through that process. So what does that have to do with Kahuna? But since the Kahuna was in Mitzrayim, and the Kahuna was taken out of Mitzrayim, so it has to go a process of Taras and Mitzrayim. And so that's why Aaron and Banav have to go through the process of what a Mitzrayim needs to undergo. And the same thing with Yaakov and Rachel, because Yaakov and Rachel are in the house of Lavan. Well, Lavan is based Lavan, that's the house of Tzaras. So if you retire from that Tumah, those are the Simana that Yaakov gave Rachel. How does this connect to Purim and to Pesach? So we said before, the Nes of Purim took place on Pesach. What's Pesach? A Yetziah from Tumas Tzaras. And Purim was the exact same thing, because Haman and Vashti and that whole Klipa was also Tumas Tzaras. So Purim and Pesach means a Tahara from Tzaras. 7 days of Pesach corresponds to the 7 days of the Tumas of Mitzrayim. Everything is really one inyan. But we had said before, going back to the Hakdama, to the Eser Sfiras, and to the Meichem, which come down on the night of the Seder, so we said that the first kos, which is Kadesh, is what? The right side of all the Meichen. The right side of all the Meichen. That's Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach of Chachma, Bina, and Das. That's the first kos. And the Sfarim explained that when you drink Kadesh and you do Kadesh, Yitzias Yitzayim has already happened. Everything else is just commentary. The first kos is everything. Even Yitzias Yitzayim, according to CPT Yitzayim, according to many Shitas, After that, it's clear sailing. But what is, if you take a look at, what is the right side? The right side is exactly that. Chachma is connected the ear. The yad is connected chesed. The foot is connected netzach. So the first coast, which is called Kadesh, and Kadesh is the Kedushas HaKahuna, Chachma, the whole right side is the first coast. So again, you're seeing that Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place on the right side. On the right side. So even when you drink the curse of the first coast, it's the same thing as applying dam to Chachma, Chesed, and to Netzach. And the fact that the coast has to be Yain Edom, which is dam, like wine is dam, and the whole thing in Parshas Vayechi, it's mamish the same thing. It's mamish Hainulach. But this is going to explain why Mordechai is called what? Ish Yamini. Ish Yamini means the right side. Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach. In the same way that Yaakov and Rachel have the right side, and Aaron HaKohen have the right side, Mordechai has the right side. That's what's called Ish Yamini. And it's very good, because the Pri Yitz Chaim says that what's Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach? So the Rav Chaim Vital writes, Chachma is the Kohen Gadol, Chesed is the Skan Kohen, and Netzach is the Kohen Hedjot. So you see how even Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach literally line up with the three different facets of the Kohuna. And we'll conclude with this. Just two Ramazim. First of all, Purim is celebrated on Yud Dalet Adar. Yeah? So we have a remez in Yud Dalet Adar to the whole Seder we said before. So Yad, Yud Dalet is Yad. So that that's a remez to the blood which is applied on the Yad. Adar is Rashi Tevas, Ozen, Dam, Regel. Yeah? So you have the Yad, the Ozen, Dam, and the Regel. That's Yud Dalet Adar. That's the whole lineage of Mordechai Yishimini to retire from Tumas Teras. The Zohar Kodesh says the following thing. The Zohar says, where do you find Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach? Three times Yamin. We say it in Halo. Yamin HaShem, Oysachayil. Yamin HaShem, Remeima. Yamin HaShem, Oysachayil. Says the Zohar. That's Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach. Three times on the right side. Of course, we say that in Halo Mitzrayim, because Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about what we just said. Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach. Even in Kriyas Yam Sof, in Shiras HaYam, you have three times Yamin. Yamin HaShem, Yimincha Hashem Nadoi Vakoyach, Yimincha Hashem Tiratzayev, Natisa Yimincha Tivleim Arts. It's Kriyas Yom Tov, that's the Gemara of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Three times Yamin. Now if you take Yamin Hashem three times, look at the Gematria. How much is three times Yamin? Yamin is 110. And how much is three times Havai? Because you have Yimincha Hashem three times. Right? So Yamin three times, 110 times three is how much? 330. That's Gematria Purim. Pei Reish Yud Mem. That's how the Megillah spells it. Pei Reish Yud Mem. Now what's three times Havaya? 78, Gematria Megillah. So you have three times Yamin Hashem three times is Purim Megillah. Purim Megillah. That's exactly called the Yishimini. That's the Enyan. It's Tumas Hatzaras. But in order to understand the Oizen of the whole Seder Advarim, you have to go into Pinimi. It's that right side, that Yishimini. This is the secret of Purim, Pesach, and Tiras and Matzayir and Tiras and Kehuna.